Hello from San Francisco on Tuesday, February 21st, 2012. This is Brian Madden, and you're listening to Brian and Gabe and Jack live.
Wow, that is a lot of energy you have right there.
Well, what happened was we moved the show back a few hours in order to make it more accommodating for those of us connecting from the West Coast, and I've adjusted. So now it has become that 10 o'clock is now still early for me, though not as early as 8. I hear a lot of background fuzz. Is that is that Claudio?
Yeah.
That is the sound of Canada.
That's it.
So our guest today is Claudio Rodriguez, joining us from Canada. I don't think we have to be more specific than that. So Claudio, thanks for joining.
He's not in Vancouver, Calgary, or Toronto. So he's in the other one.
He's in the rest, the other one. Yeah,
but I don't even know where Calgary is.
So today's topic, I know Claudio, you've got, so first of all, Claudio, do we have you for the whole hour?
Maybe for half an hour, 45 minutes.
Okay, so let's talk to you first, and then Ron Oglesby, his comment's awesome. It says, let's hear Jack rail against Microsoft licensing. It's fun to see the next generation bitch about the 20-year-old licensing model. So I love that we have been able to pass that torch on about how asinine the Microsoft licensing is. And Jack, you discovered it was actually more asinine than we had previously thought.
Yes, indeed. And it also... In this article, I got in a VDI versus terminal server paragraph.
Oh, man. So you're all over these.
It's right there.
All right, great. So that'll be the second half of the show today. I knew that Claudio was a guest about 2 minutes ago when I walked in and I saw there's a little screen for Claudio on our recording thing. So
so the backstory behind that is this morning I signed into my email this morning at about 9:30 in the morning because I was up until 2 o'clock last night working on some stuff. And there's an email from Claudio talking about a solution that he put in place for a very small customer, a very small business that is like 2 or 3 seats of VDI, an actual, like, they own the server, they own everything. And I thought, man, we should talk about this in the show, because I know that's something, Brian, that's one of your soapboxes. Like, why the hell would you want to do that? But then, Claudio seems to stand behind this decision to actually have this kind of product. So I thought, what the hell, let's bring Claudio on. And, you know, Claudio can also, if we get to the Microsoft licensing, you know, Claudio's been around for a long time, so he can deal with that too.
So what was the deal, Claudio? You wanted to figure out how can we make a solution that's even smaller than 2X. And what do you call this now? Like, is this 1X? What is this? Half X.
Yes, that's it.
So you did Yeah.
Oh, here's the deal. I started
to the... Uh-oh.
Well, hopefully he's not connecting over his now small VDI connection. I don't know where he is right now. I think he's not at home with the regular connection. He said that he's going to be connecting over the 3G.
I think it sounded like he was in a food court at a shopping mall.
I thought that he was at a hockey game. All right, well, Claudio, if... Oh, and Justin said that he dropped. All right, so maybe we'll get him back. But I wonder, let's talk about this, though.
The idea here is that, I mean, so he had this small business. It was just a friend of his, really. It wasn't really a client. But it was a small business that had, it was 2 or 3 users. And so he decided he likened it to a mall kiosk. I'm not sure if it actually was a mall kiosk thing, but they wanted to be able to access their desktops from anywhere. They wanted to not have to worry about it out in the field. They wanted to keep it all, you know, back in one location. And they wanted to, you know, have some of those features of VDI. So what he did is he rolled out, he just bought a really lightweight server that just had some mirrored drives. And then he used ESXi and Zen Desktop Express and brought up a very, very small VDI environment. Is Claudio back? Oh, yeah, okay. He's going to dial in, it looks like, if you have that number, Justin.
On the telephone. Yeah. All right.
Cool. So so he rolled this small VDI out for these people. And I asked him, I said, why wouldn't you go with 2Cloud or Desktone or something like that? And he said that there was a pride of ownership aspect of this. Like they wanted to have their own solution. They wanted to manage it. They were doing backups and stuff. They had a file store that was on a NAS, and they wanted to do backups. They're using Dropbox for that, so that stuff is stored offline. So that even if the VDI environment goes down because it's only on one server, they can still access the information from anywhere. So
why do you need? I mean, I don't understand why they don't just buy three desktops and use remote desktop, you know, RDP software or Windows. Like, it seems to me that you got three $400 desktops, so $1,200, and I don't know, just log me in, and there you go. And you can still run Dropbox and all these things.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's why we wanted to have Mom, because I knew that you... have some special issues with all of this. You know, you've gone out so far as to say, like, what, is it 10,000 and under, you should outsource it?
Yeah, for sure. Because I just don't believe that anyone can do it better than, well, I guess it depends on what your goals are. If you're trying to do it based on cost or trying to do it based on flexibility or whatever. And Justin is waving at me as you're saying, are you there, Claudio? He's super quiet. Do you have volume on your phone?
It's all the way up.
What's his
this
gain?
This is what we get for bringing in Canadian everything. What's everything else we've done
Justin,
is from the
U.S. Justin, look at the gain on him.
Yeah, it's up too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It looks like it's off. Wait.
Try now, Claudio.
I can't hear it at all.
Are you talking? Bring the gain up more for... All right, now try Claudio.
Well, we can edit this part out of the podcast.
Sorry, live listeners. If we get Claudio back, we can go on to that. Let's just listen to Jack bitch about Microsoft.
Segment two, Jack bitching about Microsoft. All right, so Jack, bring it on. So what was your article this week?
Well, my article was, Microsoft licensing for VDA and for Office is a pain. And pain isn't the original word that I had in there, but I figured it'd be a few more years before I earn the right to use swear words in article titles.
But your title would have been Microsoft. The original title was like, Microsoft has us over a barrel, and they are fucking us horribly, and we're taking it because that's the only way we can get our desktops. And here's why. That was your first title, I guess, right?
Right. And because, you know, so 4 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, we were on this whole licensing kick when we were first talking about single user terminal server VMs as a free alternative to VDA. And I think we never actually came to a conclusion as to whether or not that was legal or not. And
well, what we determined is you have to have a remote desktop, an RDS cal with those. I think that was the thing, right? So the idea is if you buy the data center edition of Windows Server, that allows you to run as many VMs as possible. So that gives you the actual like core Windows license. And then for your users, so in my article, I was saying, hey, now you can connect each user one-to-one. And what we learned is that you can do that, but you also have to have an RDS cal, even though you're not using, you know, these things in...
Well, so that's interesting because that RDS cal that solves one of the VDA issues that I wrote about in this article, because the issue with VDA is any single device that you bring into the office, any device at all, has to have a VDA license for it. So
who's you? The company, the user?
Well, that's the problem, because the IT department has to have a way to audit or make sure that everybody's in compliance, and the users have to be educated, and so
if we back up, so you got SA, and you buy SA for all your desktops, and now SA includes the VDA rights is built into SA,
right? So your desktops are fine,
but there's home use rights though too, right? So you can use, so like if I have a desktop, this SA, and then I install the Citrix receiver onto my iPad, then I'm covered with that home use rights or whatever, right?
Right, at home. But you bring that iPad that's perfectly fine at home, you bring that into the office, suddenly that needs another VDA license.
Wait, who brings it in?
The employee. Maybe.
Wait, so if I bring my iPad,
you bring your iPad into the office.
Into the office.
Your personal iPad. How do they know? They don't.
Wait. The literally, like, Microsoft is, if it is in the office.
If it is in the office.
Wait, how do they define office?
That's
like, you mean literally, like, if so my, I have SA on my primary device, which gives me VDA. I can use my iPad from home or the train or the hotel. But if I walk in the door of my building with that iPad, now my company is supposed to have a second VDA license specific for that iPad, even though it's my iPad, and they don't even know I'm using it. They just make, you know, terminal server, or, well, it wouldn't be terminal server, but VDI available to me.
That is correct. That's the understanding that's what we came to. And
are you fucking?
So it's a device license plus a proximity license plus a user license, all rolled into one batshit crazy.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So you're right. Unfortunately, no, I'm not. And this is the one. So I wrote in the article. I consulted with Nathan Cutino about this. You know, he was on the show about 3 months ago. And I got the idea to write this article because, you know, there were a few things out there that I read, you know, that are sort of like, if you allow users to use iPads, your building will collapse and everyone will die. and I'm like, what is this alarmist crap? And I went back to the show that we recorded in November, and we were talking about this VDA and home use rights, and it turns out at the time we were talking about it, but we didn't dig in completely specifically about the situation that you just described, where you bring in your personal iPad or your personal Kindle or whatever, or your you know, mini fridge that runs Android apps. So anyway, I contacted Nathan about this, and we went over it one day, and we were at the first reading of the material, we said, okay, personal devices in the office is okay, that's good under these extended roaming rights, and you know, we said we'll check a couple of things and we'll get back to that. So that's about 2 p.m. that we have that conversation. A little bit later in the day, he's like, okay, I'm going to talk to some other people. Then it's about 8 o'clock my time, 10 o'clock his time, because he's in Chicago. And he's like, let's plan on having another call tomorrow. I found out some new stuff. We need to talk to some more. And then 11 o'clock my time, 1 a.m. his time, I get another email from him, and he's like, man, this stuff is really crazy. Is it too late to submit a Briform session?
And so hopefully it's not too late, yeah. First of all.
so he did submit a session. So we can get into this more.
We had Nathan on here we talked for, I think we went over our hour, and it was one of the more interesting Brian and Gabe live shows that we've done. Just having Nathan on here with his, I mean, he already had vast knowledge in his head, but still it wasn't enough to explain all of the questions that you were asking.
We just need to have him on once a month.
You have the energy to go after these questions. We just stop giving a shit and we just do what we think is right.
Oh, I spent like 3 days pulling my hair out trying to figure this out from reading older blog posts from the two of you and reading Microsoft's website. And, you know, they have this PDF that you can download that's like, look at these simple scenarios that to explain VDA licensing. And it like has little pictures and diagrams like, a company has 100 users and 50 of them log on from home occasionally, and 25 of them work primarily in the office and are shared. It's kind of like one train leaves Philadelphia going 50 miles an hour and another train leaves. So, and they're simple scenarios like this PDF, there's like eight. Not even using any hyperbole, there's like eight of these scenarios. Like, which one of these simple scenarios does your solution fall under?
But it sounds like they don't even cover all of the scenarios. Because do they talk about
No,
like,
they don't.
To be clear, so, like, are you sure this is right? First of all, like, this is. I guess this is you, the material, and Nathan Cotino, and you feel confident that this is how it. Like, this is. If you bring a device. So SA licenses, first of all, are per device. So I have, we'll speak about me literally with me, right? So now I have a Kindle Fire, I have an iPad, I have an iPhone, I have the BlackBerry tablet. So these are the four devices that can run. And I've got my laptop, which I use occasionally, and then my desktop in the office. So literally, because I have six devices, that any one of them could be in my pocket at any day. Connecting from the office,
and any one of those would need to be covered.
And now, SA's per device, so like I would need to buy everyone. Like once I connect, it's like that old Rally's commercial with Seth Green. You know, every time you walk in the door, we might as well put a electronic eye in the door that just sends that thing to Microsoft. Oh shit, dude, that's my first Arduino project. Gabe bought me. For my birthday last year, an Arduino kit, and I didn't really know what to build with it. And where this comes, I think building this project. So I saw this thing on Gizmag earlier this week called the Transparency Grenade. And I don't know if you guys have seen this thing, and you'll see where I'm like what the point is of this thing. It's kind of done like a public art project. It is literally a translucent grenade shaped device, but it's an electronic device, and it has inside it. Battery, a little Arduino system, 3G connection, microphones, Wi-Fi, a processor, and like GPS connectors. And you pull the pin and let it somewhere, and it does two things. A, it starts recording all audio it hears and broadcasts it to the internet. And B, it intercepts as much Wi-Fi as it can and broadcasts it to the internet. And then you go to a map, and you can see where these truth grenades have been deployed. And so, like, the idea, you know, is it's like if you're Occupy or whatever, like, to throw this over the wall of the compound and see what you can find.
Can we build one of these?
Well, I think, I mean, and the form factor is not so good because it literally looks like a grenade. But, I mean, conceptually, I'm sure they already exist, you know, and they're probably way smaller than we imagine.
Just make it look like an iPad, but they'll pick it up. It'll be like a Trojan horse.
Actually, did we talk about that with the USB sticks? Who were we talking to?
Who was that? That was awesome. That was somebody at one of the two places that we were at last 2 weeks ago.
Did you hear this, Gabe, where they said that the best way to penetrate security inside companies is you put a bunch of Trojans on like 8-gig USB sticks and just drop them in the parking lot outside the building you want to penetrate. Then they just
That makes sense.
Totally.
It's like, hey, a USB stick.
Anyway, where I'm going with this. So this truth grenade, I mean, it's all made of like sterling silver and this kind of stuff.
It's as pretty as it is technically.
It's going in a museum. They made one copy. It cost $30,000. It's going in a museum, but it's a public, well, not public art. It's like an art, conceptual art project. But I wonder if this, or also thinking about the way that like Colbert is doing the Super PAC, and he's making fun of, which is Colbert still off the air, by the way?
No, he's back.
All right, good.
His mom was sick.
Oh. The way he's making fun of the whole process of like the political system, you know, by like participating in it.
I hear some stuff in the background. Does that mean that Claudio is back?
I can hear music in the background. Oh, there it stopped. All right.
I just called him off.
Okay.
So.
So anyway, but if I make something that it's like a oops, can you reconnect this there, Jack? If I make something that's like an Arduino kit that detects like devices walking through the door and then automatically sends a thing to Microsoft and like charges your credit card, you know, I could actually sell this as the latest Microsoft compliance device. Fuck, dude. Right. There's our April Fool's.
Well,
there's our April Fool's article. It's like, Kevin Goodman.
It's like a metal detector for the door, except it measures Microsoft compliance.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing, though.
But
you can't. Microsoft doesn't know whether your device is at home or not, and they rely on you. You said in the article they rely on the honor system, so it's not even like even if you could track exactly what device that was, Microsoft would have no idea what the hell you were doing. So they put all this complexity out there, and then they're like, just you know, let us know when you do it. And go ahead and pass.
Another question that I realize now that we still have to figure out if we felt like digging through this more is, are those VDA licenses like within one user? Like, Brian, can you have your extra VDA license apply to your iPad one day and your Kindle Fire the next day? Or is it 90 days?
That sounds a lot like per user licensing, not per device licensing, doesn't it?
But it's like per user, per...
Right, but VDA is, right, so as long as I, there's a 90-day transfer period, right? So as long as I, if I use all my devices,
well, there's that
90-day
transfer period for external contractors, but I wonder if that applies to your personal devices.
And that's, you can only transfer a license once every 90 days to a different device, right?
Right.
Yeah. But personal, so is the point that the personal devices stop being personal once you bring them into the company?
I don't know that it's actually been considered.
I don't know. Like,
if they looked at this from the perspective that we are, how the hell could anybody come up with a solution like this? Like, I just don't think that they even considered the fact that. Well, I don't think they put as much thought into it as you just did, suggesting that when a device enters the workplace, it becomes a work device. I just don't like. I mean, clearly, they just haven't put that much thought into it.
And what
I think their language, by the way, is also just plain endpoints. So they don't care who owns it. They just want to know how many endpoints are in the door.
How do they define it? Because they don't use the word the door. And one of the commenters was saying,
how do you define the office?
Yeah, like, yeah. How's the text? I don't know if you have it in front of you, but do you know what the text says? Like, do they say, like, in the? They don't call it an office, right? Like, what do they actually say? Like, if you're on premise.
I don't have that text in front of me.
And what is
you work from the sidewalk outside? That's, you know, right away.
Well, really, I mean, seriously, right? And it's Wi-Fi, but like, that's crazy. Like, I mean, if I hold, like, I'm being a little bit facetious, but seriously, if I hold my device out the window and only connect to my desktop from, I'm in the office, but the device is not in the office. Like, does it have air rights? What if I'm on the roof? Obviously, I'm being like,
yeah. Yeah, and obviously I don't have the answers to these questions, but it just goes to
Why
show
not?
How.
But it's hilarious. I mean, so what we have, so this is to me like the second straw. I don't know how many I have though. I don't know if it's the final one, because the final one may have happened a while ago. But I mean, for a long time, my number one biggest complaint about Microsoft. Was they had no SPLA for Windows 7. And it looks like they're still not having any, you know, service provider license agreements. So if you want to provide licenses for, you know how that works. So no service provider.
But then, so right. Or you can continue if you want, but I was going to go on down to, so the next part in the article I mentioned, how great everything is with RDS per user client access licenses, and you know, to get my little TS versus VDI thing in there. So what do? You send out an email to all your employees where you say, okay, so if you're accessing a terminal server desktop. And you bring your personal device in from home, then that's okay. But if you're accessing a VDI desktop, please tell us so that we can tell you not to, or so that we can buy the appropriate license. And, you know, of course, how does a user know the difference? They're probably clicking on the same client icon to access both environments.
And if we're doing it right,
and maybe the terminal server has the Windows server has all the arrow turned on, and so it feels like Windows 7 anyway.
And especially if it's a seamless, yeah. So it's that is crazy, right? Like, please kindly notify us if you happen to be.
But if you use single user Windows Server VMs with per user RDS CALs, then you can have the single user benefits. Of VDI, but you have the per user CAL benefits of terminal server.
So that means that if we take this conversation back to what we were talking about before, you know, the RDS using RDS with a one user per RDS host. You have to buy data center based licenses for your base Windows server, but then you can run as many VMs as you want. And you can connect them into Zen Desktop just as easily. I assume they connect Vue Workspace, of course. I assume Vue, you could even trick Vue into working where it's giving single user RDS sessions instead of single user Windows VMs. Then you've got per user licensing. And you're done. So I feel like if it's more screwy, like people say, yeah, maybe it's a little bit more screwy to use RDS for desktop type stuff, but what's more screwy, that or the scenario that you, Jack, just outlined for users who might want to bring in their own devices? So we have to figure out, there's a lot to go in here. I think there's another article in this for brianmadden.com and a new product launch, I think, for our next future company. Which is, yeah. Hey, so I hear some clicking around in the background, and Justin's telling me that Claudio is back.
Well, I'm trying to be back. I'm not sure if I am back, but yeah.
We hear you.
It sounds pretty good.
All right, so jumping back to the topic that we first discussed with you, Claudio, you were talking about building a small VDI environment for just three users. Gabe explained that there was sort of a pride of ownership thing there, and you wanted to have this all sort of in-house. My question, I guess, is, well, first of all, is that right? What did you do with this small little VDI environment?
Yeah, that's it. But before I answer that, I just want to ask you guys a question. What if I connect to the VDI using an RDS session? So I give my users access to a TS, and then they connect, and from there they establish their VDI.
So the client. So
there was somebody in the comments in Jack's article yesterday that was clearly trying to sell one of their products for Mac virtualization. But he's like, "Yeah, I have a quick solution for that. Use remote from your Mac to my solution, and then connect or something like that." And I don't even know if it actually works that way. But it's his. I think the message there was similar to that, where you know if you're actually connecting to the VDI session from on-premises all the time, no matter what device you are using RDP or something like that, then I guess you found a way around it.
Yeah, that guy, although, I think that's Derek Smith, right from Orchard Park. He's another Canadian. So,
so my question there is, how does Microsoft, like you're still accessing Office, for instance, and you're still accessing Windows. I just wonder, like if they can be this convoluted, why doesn't that extend out?
How many hops does the access go through?
Yeah. Right.
The ultimate end user device you have somewhere in the chain has a Windows desktop in it. Then I would imagine that you would ultimately need to have that. Although, but what's the device? Yeah.
And Gabe, since you did mention Office, the one thing that I want to get in or mention is that the licensing for access to Office is essentially the same restrictions as VDA. So if you have Office on terminal server, that freedom to use as many devices as you want at work goes away if you're accessing the Office because Office is per endpoint when on company premises. When off company premises, it's still whatever you want. But essentially, having Office on that terminal server restricts that to the more restrictive set
right.
of rules.
And so I feel like this is all about selling SA, in one way or another. And I wish that it was easier to articulate that. Then you know, I feel like if Microsoft just said, you know what, if you guys buy SA, you just get it all. Like just you know, fuck
but
it, you got
do,
it, you got everything.
But it's not per user though. So like it is about buying SA, but how do you like SA? I mean, you can't buy SA for devices that can't run Windows natively, so you can't buy SA for your iPad.
Well, that's but if you're an SA subscriber in the enterprise, then you should just be fine. Like cuz that's clearly the goal is to sell SA, but if they're trying to sell SA, like where it gets complicated is when they're trying to do SA benefits for devices that can't run Windows, and like I feel like if they're just trying to sell SA, I think you know, nobody's buying these licenses anyways for their six different devices that could possibly access a system. So I feel like if their whole goal is to sell SA, they should just say, if you buy SA, you get all this stuff and you don't have to worry about it ever again. And if you don't buy SA, then you have to deal with all this crap. And, you know, that would make it at least easier. Like, the crap could all still be there, but people would take one look at it and go, I don't want that, and go over to and just buy SA.
You know, this is the reason why I'm going to retire. I mean, frankly, you know, I talked about We publicly
said... No. This is the reason why we should be excited about the future, because at the end of the day, isn't the question... Listen, you didn't bring your iPad into the office to access a Windows desktop, did you?
That's a good point. Yeah. And so...
Is that why anybody bought an iPad?
Mark Templeton. Actually, probably not Mark Templeton. Probably all the Microsoft... Well, no, Microsoft employees. You're right. That's a good point. The only people who... Yeah, that's a very good point. So the more we can further along this transition away from...
Gabe is saying, so Jack is 26 and excited about this. Ah, to be young.
I mean, it's...
I appreciate your optimism and reject it.
I'm saying that I'm excited about the future of application delivery.
I gotcha.
Well,
and you're right, but...
We got 4 years. So the thing is... I'm starting to view. So we signed this deal with TechTarget that takes us through the end of 2015. So we're down to about three years and 10 months left, give or take. And what's starting to happen more is I'm realizing that my, you know, that sort of whatever you call it, chain around my, like the restriction I have, the lock-in I have, let's say, I'm forced to stay here for another 3.5, 4 years. It's not a TechTarget thing. It's a Microsoft licensing industry thing. Like, I could work at TechTarget for another 50 years. This is fine. But I'm, like, locked into having to deal with fucking, like, bullshit Microsoft licensing policies.
But we're not, because the desktop, the future of the desktop is going to change, right?
Yeah.
So it'll all still be there, but it will be less of a percentage of our pie.
I need to go cold turkey, man. The only Microsoft application that I use is Office for Mac. I got to get off this thing and figure out something else.
Go off that, too?
If I get off that, then I'm not giving any money at all to Microsoft. And fuck them and their MVP program. I'm not going to that thing. And so, like, I'm already really working my way out of there. So if I can get off Office for Mac, I don't know if that's possible, though. But anyway, okay.
But what if Windows...
So we have Claudio for just a few more minutes. So let's let's get back to his thing.
All right, man. So, Claudio, so you got the small VDI environment, and... Gabe was saying that you wanted to build it yourself because it's like a pride of ownership thing as opposed to paying like, you know, TwoCloud or Desktone or something like that.
It's not only that, like when you go through the licensing, these providers are, you know, they have in place some like, which one you gave me the link, Gabe?
TwoCloud. Yeah,
so that one, for example, there is a minimum buy-in that is like 50 desktops per month. So that's the first problem. The second funny problem is it's a bring your own VDA license deal. So if you go through their agreement, you need to bring your own VDA licenses. So it's like, man, I just want to get a fucking desktop. Like, I don't want to bring my licenses.
You know what?
But you have to have licenses for your solution.
I think this solution is too small to use desktops in the cloud.
That's
like
it.
The licensing about how there's no SPLA license for Windows. So in this situation, 2Cloud can't just take these three Windows desktops and put them on the same host that they're using for some other company.
Why doesn't he just use OnLive? Because clearly they don't have the problems with Windows SPLA and, you know, $10 per user per month. It's American, which is now the weak currency too. So
yeah. Except, well, if they're in Canada, though, we already know the internet connection isn't all that great.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. That's why we kept in-house.
But so my point, though, is that since they have to dedicate hardware to each specific customer, then to have three desktops running on a server is ridiculously expensive per desktop. And so that's why they have to make you do 50 to make it cost effective for their price model to work with their infrastructure.
Yeah, so, probably the case.
So I think that, and I didn't think about this before, but I think that there's actually probably a minimum threshold until Microsoft gets a SPLA license in place for Win 7, that I think there's a low end of this threshold too, so that, you know, at some point you're too small and you have to roll your own VDI if you want those features.
So my question, okay, so brings it to part two. If your business requirement, Claudio, is to deliver these desktops to these users, and you want to build it in-house, that's fine. why? I mean, you got VDI. I don't know. Like, why not just buy a few desktops and then use something like Log Me In and just have like three physical desktops? Which, by the way, then you don't need any SA either. You can just have the regular. Pardon me.
Oh, that's a good point. Like, as a Log Me In user as well, I can give you the, you know, the feedback on using both solutions. You know, performance, if you, we compare, like, just usability, how it works, I would say Log Me In is a great solution, but it's still not there. Like, you know, it's not the same as going through whatever, RDP or Citrix and desktop.
Why not use RDP then?
Why not use RDP?
Yeah.
Well, then you need something. Yeah, it can be done, yes. It was just the ease of use of Zen Desktop being available on other platforms.
Wait, oh, Zen Desktop
is available for free, too.
Oh, so it's free.
Zen Desktop Express and ESX. So it's not
exactly.
Okay. There was no pay for
it. I'm
that.
On board.
But why not use terminal services then on an even more lightweight box? I guess in that situation, then you have to buy a server license. But you still need a Windows server for Zen Desktop Express, right?
Well, the reality is you still need it, like we had to buy. But the reality is all these guys, they have several different devices. Like everyone has like an iPad or whatever it is. And they want access from anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though they are small, but they are still using these things, iPads, iPhones, whatever. And that's where the Zen Desktop Free fits, you know, perfectly.
Man. All right. I got there's an article there getting priced out of doing VDI for small organizations because of SPLA. We're just gonna rail on Microsoft. We should have like fuck Microsoft week.
Oh my gosh. And VMware could sponsor it or something.
Yeah.
That's
you know, if you go to our search VMware site, all the ads are from Microsoft, right? So let's
one article series and we retire.
Oh my gosh. This is just, you know, and I guess getting back to it, this is to Jack's point. It's like, hey, what can we do? It's like we can revolutionize from within, you know, like we can be champions of trying to move off of the Windows platform. But it's crazy because it's easy for us to move off of the Windows platform because we don't have any real applications. But for companies, you know, it only requires one Windows application and then they have to have the whole Windows desktop and all this garbage and on and on and on. Yeah, we have. Ron Oglesby says, you guys have become the anti-Microsoft site. That is a true statement. No objections. Next question. Claudio, I never thought about it. So the Zen Desktop Express, it didn't even occur to me. I mean, I kind of forgot that really even exists. But I guess in your case, so you have literally just one server, ESXi, so that's free, Zen Desktop Express. You have to buy your three SA or VDA licenses or whatever you're using, and I guess probably one Windows Server license, right? And that's it.
That's it. Yeah, all done.
And then you're.
And I'm sure there's nothing. Yeah, I mean, these are all, you know, persistent VMs, one to one. There's nothing complex going on here. It's three individual terminal servers.
Exactly. Very simple. Yeah.
And so you can. You said you can support, you've got room for a few more people on that one server, but Zen Desktop Express will support up to 10 users. This is a great commercial for Zen Desktop Express, and they're not even paying us.
Yeah.
So this solution does work pretty well. And so what did you say you were out total, like $6,000?
Yeah, because, you know, we bought a little better server, and we got a NAS, like a QNAP, so you don't need to go as fancy as we tried to do, but... Mm-hmm. You can probably do like a small, like I did for myself, actually. I did everything similar for under 2K.
And is that, okay, so again, why did you go the VDI route instead of terminal server?
Well, in this case, you know, it was just a better compatibility with whatever crap they may want to bring down the road. So it's just, you know, if they want to install something, I don't need to worry about, oh, will this work properly? Do I have to change this or that? It just works.
I guess you don't have to administer this also, because you can say there's three computers. They understand that. They can have administrative rights. They can do whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, very simple. And as I was mentioning to Gabe, like even the file shares that we, you know, you have like a shared folder for company data, for example. it's inside the Dropbox share. So we are sharing a subfolder of Dropbox.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever they dump there, it's automatically backed up to Dropbox, yeah, to the cloud. And then they can access, you know, from home, from an iPad, from whatever.
And if their one server goes down that hosts all their desktops, they still have access to the data.
Yes, and if the server goes down, as I said, like the VMs, they are stored on the external NAS. So it's just a matter of bringing up a new box and pointing to the same storage, and you are back online.
The VMs are stored in the external NAS? They're not actually running from the external NAS, right? Are they just backed up there somehow?
No, they're running off the external NAS.
Oh, wow.
Three users, you can do fun stuff like that.
Exactly.
It's three users over a gigabit connection on a 3-foot cable. So
that's it. Ice cozy. Yeah.
What is? How about VDI in a box?
Well, I don't. Do they have like a free 10 user thing for VDI in a box?
No, and that's why not right there, because it's not free.
Why not. and that's why they don't do it, because then people, if they're targeting it for under 50 users, like percentage wise, they'd have to have like free like 1/3 of a user. You can have one user who can use it every alternating day, and that's their free solution. Otherwise, they're losing money.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Wow.
Claudio, are you still a Microsoft MVP?
Yes, I am, indeed.
Are you going to the summit in a few weeks?
No, unfortunately not.
You, I believe that you might be the... I know you were an MVP before me, and I think that you might be the longest-term MVP of all the current MVPs. Do you think that's correct?
Yeah, I was the first one in 2001.
And it was you and some Andre, someone maybe?
No, it was me, only me.
But and then because I remember we had like Matthew Harris was there for a while, but I think he's out. And
they added a bunch of people after. Yeah.
So you're 11 years now, so still going strong.
Still going until they kick me out.
Apparently it's not possible to get kicked out, because I didn't reapply this year and they just made me one anyway. And I've been sure dropping lots of F-bombs with the word Microsoft in the same sentence, and that's fine. Maybe now they're keeping me in just to prove a point, to show like, no, we embrace all opinions.
Yeah, probably.
Though I'm not going to, instead of me going to MVP Summit, I'm going to be at home trying to figure out how to not use Microsoft Office. There's my tweet.
Docs to go, Quick Office.
I need
Dropbox.
Well,
need
the problem.
PowerPoint.
Yeah. Well, actually, so here's the thing too. And
Slide Rocket.
So incidentally, Claudio, I don't know if you have to go now, Claudio, or you can hang out longer. But I think I don't have any more questions specifically about your VDI solutions. So if you want to take off, you can. But if you want to stay and join us, feel free to stay.
Yeah. For now, I'm okay.
All right. So moving, and Claudio, now you're a Mac user. Do you run Mac OS or do you run Windows?
I run Mac OS.
And with Microsoft Office or other Office suites?
No, unfortunately, with Microsoft Office.
Yeah, the problem I had, so first of all, the Apple Keynote product, that's their version of PowerPoint, is a better product than PowerPoint. But the problem is it's not the compatibility. So many people send me PowerPoint slides, and I can't really be like, oh, I don't use PowerPoint. Because I'm like that guy. Like, if I don't use PowerPoint, you're kind of a pretentious asshole a little bit. Like, you're like someone without a TV or with the hybrid, and they remind you of it every 10 goddamn seconds.
But that, and that's why organizations can't go to OpenOffice and things like that, too, because, you know, you have to be compatible 100% with the stuff that other people have too.
Yeah, and so if I just had no, I don't know, maybe I can give it a shot. I'd have to rebuild my entire presentation, which would take a while. And then
tell me,
Jack is pointing at Justin. but the other thing too is it's just hard, because then, I mean, you know, anytime you go to a conference, so a lot of times I can use my own laptop. But if I go somewhere, they have their built-in computers and their Windows computers. And
their slides that they want to insert into your presentation are PowerPoint slides, and they won't be able to figure that out. But hey, maybe
maybe you export to PDF. PDF, but then you're just scrolling through pages in a PDF and there's no builds or transitions or, yeah, I mean, well, I think you're stuck with PowerPoint.
There's no transitions is the key. So there are, so there's that.
Well, you can build a slide at a time or whatever too, but animations, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and I looked
in. Build a whole bunch of slides and do them really fast.
I looked in a slide rocket, and it just didn't, it's just not there yet in terms of function. And Google has a presentation product also, part of Google Apps, and it just has a very small sliver of functionality that it supports. And then the same is true with Microsoft Word. So, you know, Apple has their word processing software, but it's not compatible with DocX. I think it can open DocX, but it can't save as DocX. And so...
That one sucks big time. Like, Keynote, I can still, you know, use it. And I actually like Keynote. Yeah. But Pages, oh my God, like, Pages is terrible.
Pages.
Yeah,
is...
I know you like Keynote because every year at Briform, you send me a Keynote file. And I have to be like, dude, I can't post this on BrianMadden.com. Can you send me the PDF?
That's it.
So, oh, and there's Prezi too that for some reason people like, and I don't get it.
Prezi's gotten better. The problem with Prezi is for the longest time is you couldn't customize their formatting. They had like five templates to choose from, and if you didn't want, you know, the CCCCC background color and the like the one gray blue foreground color, then. That you couldn't use it, which is exactly why I don't want to be a startup company. Also, because I'm sure that Prezi wanted from day one.
What type of Prezi? What platform?
It's a web-based presentation software, but it instead of having slides and being linear, you have a canvas. It's like a two-dimensional canvas, and so you sort of zoom in on areas and then zoom out to other areas, and it's like a Candyland board, but you're zooming in super small to each slide. So it's kind of cool, but I don't. It'd be very hard. What's nice about using traditional presentation software is we have these libraries. So, you know, when I'm asked to speak for a half hour instead of 2 hours, I can go to my thing and pull out stuff really easily. Or if I need to combine two presentations, I can do that very easily. And Prezi, I mean, that'd be like, you know, your slideshow is a Candyland board and you got to take out, you know, every fifth slide, but still make the board look good and connect everything together. And it would be impossible.
You just fly over those parts and ignore them.
So, man, I think we're stuck. I don't know. Maybe I'll just start pirating Microsoft Office for Mac. maybe that's my way to stick it to them. And I'll donate, you know, the $300 to Seattle Children's Museum or whatever, too. Like, I'm fine with... It's not that I don't want to spend the money. I just don't want Microsoft to have it. and people say, well, if you don't support them, then that's going to make it... They're not going to make software for Mac, which would be great, because that would force the world to... Like, if Microsoft Office suddenly did not exist for Mac... the world would figure out how to use other formats besides PowerPoint.
Although, frankly, paying for Microsoft Office for the Mac, though, it's the only thing you use. It's not like you're paying for Windows and all this other stuff. I mean, you are at least only paying for the thing that you use.
Yeah. You paid like $300 and paid it once. So it's not
I guess I should tell Hal, he's our IT guy here, that he can cancel my server cal because I don't use a share for anything here. So I don't even know if I know how to connect to it. And, you know, I bought my own printer. Did we talk about that? I bought my own printer and plugged it into my Mac, so I don't even use it for printing services. So yeah, they can have their $45 back, whatever that is.
So there, problem solved.
So speaking of presentations, so Gabe, this week, right? You're going
this week.
To
yeah, at least
Seattle.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Speak of the devil.
Well, and talk about rebuilding your presentation, because I mean, I've seen you give your presentation, and I'm basically giving the same thing. It's not word for word copy, and you know. So I go to your. I have to make my own slide deck, and so I can't. You know, I can't give your presentation. You're batshit crazy out there. Your arms waving, and your presentation is so refined after giving it 175 times that you're just pop pop pop, and you could do it behind you. You could probably just set your to auto record your presentation, then just hit play and talk. and you're that synchronized. Yeah. So for mine, I thought, you know, okay, even though the message is fairly similar, you and I have a few differing views, and this is, you know, this isn't the Brian VDI show. This is mine. So I'm going to go through. I'm going to keep
your
same,
first slide?
I think it's the first thing I came up with. Like, okay, so, you know, thanks everybody for coming. You know, we're here for one of a few reasons. We're here for, you know, one is you thought Brian was coming. And so... So I took the same flow. I took the same, you know, 12 tenets of desktop virtualization that you talk about. They're spun my own way a little bit. And basically, I rewrote the whole thing from scratch using some of the builds, some of the slides, things like that, the things that are universal. But my God, man, it has taken – I decided to start like maybe
this time
last week.
What did you say, like 158 slides?
I do. It's like 185 slides. I don't use as many builds as Brian does, so I have more slides to accomplish the same thing that Brian would do in one.
To be clear, for those listening, we both present in that sort of like Gar Reynolds presentation Zen style. So when you hear 185 slides – there's no real words on the slides. This is as we're talking. There's like different images and stuff like that coming on the screen behind us. So right. I don't want anyone to be afraid of not going to these things because there's
185 slides with each with 600 words.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've gone through and I mean, it's just been, I can't imagine you built this thing up over time and I have to get there. I have to put a 2-hour presentation that sums up all of desktop virtualization. And I started to do this last week. And I have to do that in addition to my normal job, in addition to this book that we're writing. And so, like, I mean, I woke up at 9:30 today because I was up until 2 o'clock last night still working on my presentation. And I did that the night before and the night before.
Well, luckily, so, you only have to build it once, I guess. And then you'll be giving it in, what do you have, like 4 or 5 cities this year?
Yeah, my wife last night asked me, she's like, so do I get my husband back next week? So, yeah.
Do you remember off the top of your head any of the sort of philosophical differences you have from me?
Mainly, the one that sticks in my head because I just wrapped up that section was the fact that you have thought that terminal server-based desktops have been dead for years, and I still maintain that lots of people use them. So it's not like even that doesn't really change the message that much. It's just I'm more reaffirming that it's okay if you're doing this. And I feel like it's okay if you continue doing that where you feel you need to be. And Claudio, I don't know. Do you see that? Are you still on?
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
Do you see? So Brian argues that says that that most terminal servers in the world are used for publishing applications. And I think that a lot of people still use them for desktops. What do you think?
No, I agree big time. And especially
with who?
No, I agree with you. Like, there is a ton of people using full desktops on terminal services. And today, after the call we are just having, they're going to start using RDS even more to use as a launching platform for VDI. So that's the future.
We'll find out. I'll have to see if I can find anyone who's going to actually go to that MVP summit. Actually, I know Benny will be, Benny Tritch. So I'll ask him, and he's... So Benny, you know, works for AppSense, which has a big office here in the Bay Area. So Benny's flying over from Germany to attend the MVP summit. And then the weekend after the summit, he'll come down here and stay with me for the weekend and then head down to wherever AppSense is, somewhere south. And so I'll ask him to debrief me, fully respecting his non-disclosure agreements, of course. But I'll ask him to brief. So maybe we can have him ask that question for us. Anyway, Gabe, so the show you're doing is Thursday, yeah?
Thursday, yeah. And, I can't remember what hotel it's at out there. I could probably find that out pretty quick, but, I don't know if we've updated our events page yet or not.
We have actually.
So brianmedden.com/events. We'll have that information out there. It is
brianmedden.com/events has that information currently.
So it is at the W Seattle Hotel, 1112 4th Avenue, and starts at 9 o'clock or so in the morning. And it's one of these, it's these typical shows. So I'll speak for an hour, and then we have another hour where vendors come in and present, and then I round out the day with another hour, just kind of wrapping up the presentation. So we'll try to get about halfway through the 12. You know, tenets of desktop virtualization, and then the first hour, and then rounded out the last hour with some Q&A at the end. So, and I got to finally watch you do this when I was in I went to Denver to watch you do a show there, and I realized that this is the same show. Like, I think I've given this session with you on a more concise level at conferences, and I mean, God knows we have this conversation so often that, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. It's really the biggest difference between your presentation and mine is just the way that the story is told. And because of that, though, the presentation and everything had to be started from scratch. And so, which is good because Now it's entirely in my voice, which you know, I think that's great.
The voice of calm reason.
Yeah, I call you out a lot. I put up things like Brian, you know, Madden's Paradox number one. I think I think one time I even called myself like the rope that holds your hot air balloon down.
Man. So, you know, speaking of starting from scratch, so you mentioned this book that we've been working on. And I think we've mentioned a couple little things via Twitter. I actually put the little stub of a book on our books page. If you go to brianmadden.com and click on, we don't even have books on here anymore. I think brianmadden.com/books. Yeah, there we go. So we, and that is me, Gabe, and Jack, are working on a book with a tentative title, Why VDI Failed to Live Up to the Hype, and What the Future Enterprise Desktop Will Really Look Like.
Which is essentially what these presentations are, too.
Well, which is essentially what our website is, which is essentially what Briform is, which is essentially what every goddamn webcaster do is. I mean, we talk about the same thing. And, you know, I haven't written
so
a book.
So if we write this book,
Just like the future where it'll be choose your form factor, everything the same, now we're offering a book form factor.
Yeah.
As man, he's so new and he's so good.
I'm telling you, man, so, 5 years he'll
do
look.
Do we ever have to talk about this again after we write a book, though?
Oh, well, I mean, it's, you know, they pay us to do it. So, I mean, it's no different than a doctor. Like, he probably, you know, the dentist fixes the same 15 teeth problems 438,000 times in a row and then retires. And so this is just, this is our rotten tooth. And
well, and in the perfect storm here, so this book, it needs to be written at the same time that I'm trying to do this presentation. And so I have to, like, when I tried to sit down and write some of this book, and I just couldn't do it because I was still in presentation mode in my head. And it's a different style. It's a different message. It's more long form. And so I couldn't think that way. I couldn't wrap my head around book writing at the same time I was trying to do, you know, presentation deck creating. Even though a lot of it's the same, there's just so much more to be said about it than you can say in a 2-hour slideshow that, I mean, this book is going to be really, really great when it's all done. But, man, it's a big process. I've never actually written anything. You've got, what, 3 books under your belt now? And, this one will be number 4, I think, right?
Yeah. So first of all, I guess this was, like, we just heard you describe why you haven't written anything yet. So I got to hear you loud and clear. Yeah, I don't know if Ron.
This saves us from having the conversation later.
I don't know if Ron Oglesby is still listening. The last book that I wrote was co-authored with him. It was actually written in 2003. It was about Terminal Server 2003, And then Ron has gone on. So Ron wrote 3 books, at least with us. He might have done more on his own also. But so Ron and I wrote that Terminal Server book together. And then we published for Ron and Scott Harrell, and then ultimately with the two of them and Mike Laverick, a couple of VMware books. But those books I didn't write. I just published. So yeah, I only really wrote 2 books. Although, to be honest, and I say 2 because I have also got 2 editions. So I wrote the MetaFrame book. There's the first edition, second edition. The second edition did add a lot more stuff, but it was really kind of, like, kind of the same book. So I've got those 2 or 3 books. And then this one's the first one I've written now, I guess, in 9 years. Ron put on the chat that he's tired of writing, and that's how I felt, too, and probably why
write every day, man.
It's spent 9 years. But where this book is coming from, so there's a couple differences with this book. The first one that's kind of nice is that this book that we're doing, it's going to be way shorter than our last one. So it's going to be like 50 to 70,000 words as opposed to 250 to 300,000 words. The second one is, since this is not a technical, I mean, it's technical like the way that our articles are technical. We talk about technology and stuff, but we're not getting into, oh, here's the architecture. There's not a lot of research that goes into this one. So
I don't think there are going to be any lines of code font in this book.
Yeah. And this one is, I mean, it's a brain dump, and it's everything, and the reason. So, you know, Ron, or I can't say it's not Ron, it's Brian, Brian Olson. I don't know. Anyway, it's talking about book writing being a hard way to make money, and that is true. Our focus for this one primarily is, the nice thing is we have our day jobs, which pay our salaries, and I'm sure we'll make some money. I'm not even going to worry about having a distributor and putting this book in stores. It'll be on Amazon. You can buy it from Amazon via the Amazon Advantage program, and then it'll be in the Kindle and hopefully in iBooks, although you have to apply to iBooks. So we might, I don't know.
If they deem us worthy, we will be there.
But then again, you can have Kindle for iOS, so I guess that's fine. But the point, though, I guess, is that this is good for us because it's going through our worldview, and we're going through, I mean, really everything like you were mentioning, Gabe, putting into these seminars. You know, we're going through like the promise of VDI and why VDI failed to live up to that, and like why VDI projects failed, and then when you can think about desktop virtualization as more than VDI, but how Windows is not going anywhere anytime soon, and sort of like future Windows desktops, and you know, Windows apps versus web apps, and how you can tie web apps back to the enterprise, and how you can make Windows more like a service, and it's just going through all this stuff. So it's oh, it's Brian Olson. Thank you. showing us the writing is hard with the spelling of his name. With this book though, it should be cool. So I don't know. It's probably only going to be like, I have no idea how many pages, 150, 200 pages. We might actually do it as a hardcover, which would be kind of fun. But we're getting close to being done. So, after this, I'm taking off and going back home, I guess, I don't know. And I've got most of this week to sort of blocked out for writing. We expect to have this thing finished. I think by this week or next week. So I'm hoping that we get these into the Kindle version, the ebook version. I'm hoping we get it available for sale on Amazon in the next, I don't know, 2-3 weeks. And the Kindle version, I think it'll be kind of cheap. Like it'll be like $10 or $15, something like that. So it's not going to be like a huge, like $60 gigantic IT book. But you know, I think like 70,000 words, like $10. And you can probably buy the hardcover version for, you know, $18, $25, something like that. And for those who want it, and we'll use the hardcover cover versions when we go to these events and stuff too. So that'll be like our free giveaways. But yeah, so that's our book. So I'm actually,
yeah, it's exciting. So it's fun to be on the author side of it. So I've edited or reviewed all of them, including Ron's last book, which, whoa, dude, that was a fun editing job. Cause Ron's last book was this VMware book that was two books in one. One was like an advanced design guide, and then the other one was like a Mike Laverick production, and that was all super technical, like really down in the weeds kind of stuff. And so yeah, it'll be nice to be on the writing side and then letting somebody else do the editing.
And you know, Jack, I mean, so those of you who have been following consumerizeit.com know that Jack's been sort of taking the lead with that. So all the stuff about how we're taking SaaS and web apps and bringing them into the enterprise and looking at this future application architectures, all that stuff's been written by Jack. So that's your first book writing also.
Yeah, it's fun.
And your first webcast is actually this afternoon we're recording too. So
yes, that is.
So yeah, you're in it, man.
My first slide deck.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, I guess we are about out of time. By about out of time, I mean definitely out of time. So I don't know if either of you two Claudio has any final thoughts. Yeah, anything else anyone wants to add?
Nothing from me.
Yeah, nothing from me either.
All right. Well, on that note then, Claudio, thank you so much for putting up with our technical difficulties, or maybe you should be thanking us for putting up with your technical difficulties. I'm not sure, but thanks for joining.
I think we can get Ron on the show sometime. He's so chatty there.
I would love to have Ron on the show, so we'll talk to him afterwards. But Claudia, thank you for joining. Gabe, of course, always for joining. Jack, all of you. Justin, thank you for working like crazy to monitor the show and to figure out how to hook up Claudio. And we'll talk
together on short notice too today. So.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Awesome.